There were in Corinth some Jews claiming to be apostles who had come from Palestine with letters of recommendation. These men became Paul's enemies. They spoke disparagingly of his person and ministry in order to undermine his authority with the church. Their teaching was full of the Old Testament. They stressed the greatness of the person of Moses and the preeminence of the Sinai covenant. They were proud of being the descendants of Abraham and boasted that they were very special apostles. Some of them gave themselves out to be hyper-spiritual and talked about the visions and revelations they had received from the Lord. For them, Paul lacked spirituality. His message, centered on the cross, was not exalted enough. His appearance was unprepossessing, and his life, marked by suffering and need, had nothing of a great servant of God. Even his speech was contemptible. His letters are weighty and forceful, they said, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. These enemies accused Paul of giving false teaching and wrongly passing himself off as an apostle. So Paul felt constrained in his second letter to the Corinthians to defend the gospel he preached and to vindicate his ministry before the church. Unlike so many, he writes, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, we speak before God with sincerity as servants of Christ. Paul compares his message to a sweet aroma of Christ, a fragrance of life to those who are being saved, but the odor of death to those who are perishing. The ministry of the gospel, he says, is infinitely superior to that of the law. The new covenant, that of the Spirit, is eternal and gives life, while the old one, which was engraved on stone and lasted for only a while, however glorious it was, brings condemnation and death. The sight of everyone under the old covenant is veiled, says Paul, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, because it is only removed in Christ. Then we, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image with ever-increasing glory by the Spirit of the Lord. In this letter, Paul condemns these so-called super-apostles of Christ. They are not real servants of God, he says. They are deceitful and masquerade as special apostles, preaching another Jesus and another gospel by another spirit. And no wonder, for even Satan can change himself to look like an angel of light, and his servants can make themselves appear to be ministers of righteousness. Speaking of their Jewish origins, about which these men boasted, Paul writes, are they Hebrews, Israelites, Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this, but I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more often, and been flogged more severely, and I have been near death more frequently than any of them. 5 times I was given the 39 lashes by the Jews, 3 times I was beaten with rods by the Romans, 1 I was stoned, 3 I was shipwrecked, and 1 I spent a day and a night in the water. In his many travels, Paul had constantly been exposed to every kind of peril. Dangers from flooding, from bandits, from fellow Jews, and from Gentiles. Dangers on land and sea, in the cities, and from false friends. Besides the daily pressure of work and concern for all the churches. I do not think, he says, that I am the least bit inferior to these special apostles. Perhaps I am an amateur in speaking, but certainly not in knowledge. And what I am in my letters, I am also in my actions. My work as an apostle has received all the marks of divine authority and power, for the war I wage and the weapons I fight with are not those of the world. They have divine power to demolish every false argument and to pull down all proud obstacles that are raised against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Then, speaking about visions and revelations, Paul says, if I have to boast, although there is nothing to be gained, I will speak of a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Without naming himself directly, Paul briefly describes his experience of being caught up to paradise, either in his body or out of it. God alone knew. And there he heard things which cannot be put into words, and that he was not permitted to speak about. Because of this wonderful revelation, he was given what he calls a thorn in the flesh, to keep him from being proud. 3 times he prayed to the Lord to take it away, but the Lord's answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, says Paul, "I am content with weakness and hardship, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Next episode, 2 Corinthians continued. The ministry of the gospel.